Welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. Politically Enraged is a podcast purpose-built to discuss British and international disunity in political spaces, talk through ideas, introduce you to amazing people, and fight back against authoritarianism. My name is David Moo, I'm your host, and I hope you'll stick with us. Follow our Twitter at Political Rages, find us on Instagram and Ko-fi at Politically Enraged, and let's speak truth to power. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge, and today's podcast is focused around sexism, of which there is plenty, unfortunately. If you've been paying attention to the gleeful child's playground that is the British press recently, you will have seen what I can only politely describe as the hit piece that the Mail on Sunday published about Labour MP Angela Rayner. The piece alleges that Boris Johnson, our Prime Minister, is easily distracted by Rayner because, apparently, sometimes she crosses her legs. How the Daily Mail decided that this was an indictment on Angela Rayner and her sartorial choices and not the fact that we have a Prime Minister that's so captivated by women's legs that he can't pay attention for 5 minutes while he's discussing the pressing issues facing the nation, I don't know, but somehow, they did. Subsequent to this, the Mail today has published an article doubling down on their sexism and saying that in the name of a free press, they should be allowed to cover these things if they so see fit. Something which I don't know about you, but I find highly ironic. There's quite a lot to go at that they could be focusing on that's a lot more important than the fact that sometimes women have legs. For example, I'm not sure if you're aware, but there's been a worrying increase in the amount of children who, post-COVID, are now being admitted to hospital with hepatitis. And in fact, the National Donors Register, which registers children's needs for organ transplants and donation, has highlighted that a lot of children are suddenly in need of livers. Do the maths. They could be focusing on the cost of living crisis. They could be focusing on the fact that our Prime Minister gleefully misled Parliament more than once. They could be focusing on the expenses scandal or the fact that today the government has been proven to have broken the law again. Apparently, it's been proven in court that the government completely sold out care homes in the UK, leaving old people to die. This is only a few weeks after finding out that the government broke the law by making VIP lanes for companies to tender to them for PPE. Millions of pounds of taxpayer money wasted on PPE that was defective or just never went out to deliver, plus the PPE that's being destroyed. Not to mention, Rishi Sunak gleefully wrote off £4.6 billion of COVID fraud money, which the UK public now has to swallow the cost of. That in addition to the fact that track and trace cost well over £30 billion and will continue to cost, because we still need it, because they're not doing anything to curtail coronavirus. Not that you would know, because the press aren't covering it. Over 1,000 people in the UK a week are dying of coronavirus at the moment, and every single one of those deaths would be preventable if the government were doing what they were meant to. But instead, not only do we have a government who's fundamentally incapable of dealing with the problems that we're facing as the British public, but we also have a press that's gleefully willing to enable them, and rather than talk about the 12 miles of Brexit backlog queues that we're facing at our ports, they're too busy talking about the fact that Angela Rayner has thighs. And as I am recording this piece, something's just broken on Twitter, covered by the ever-present Pippa Crera. A Tory frontbencher watched porn while sat next to a female colleague. Apparently yesterday the Tories had some kind of AGM meeting where no less than 12 women gave their harrowing stories of sexual abuse at the heart of the party, be it inappropriate comments and touching, or people subjecting them to pornography against their will. Angela Rayner has spoken out on Twitter saying that the doubling down by the Mail has made things worse, saying that just because she laughs off sexism doesn't mean it doesn't matter. And anybody that's ever been subject to any kind of abuse will know that trying to laugh it off is one of the main things that you do to try and defuse the situation. And anybody who's ever been stood in a room with an angry man will know that that's usually the easiest way to try and sort the situation out. Just pretend you're on their side and hope that they don't get violent. I speak from experience. There are, of course, a lot of people in the UK who like to pretend that sexism isn't a huge problem, but all it takes is 5 minutes in a men's locker room, and for them not to realise that you're on women's side for you to tell them the lie of that. Here is an example of some of the conversations that I've heard in the men's locker room in the last fortnight. One man told another guy, "Oh, she's fit as fuck, but she's only good to bang," and then he and all of his friends laughed. One man had an argument with his wife, and when he hung up, he said, "Fucking silly bitch." The argument was about where to get potatoes. But my personal favourite has to be two middle-aged businessmen. I was aware of them because I did feel like they were a bit creepy while I was on the gym floor. And then I realised that they were staring at a girl who was in absolutely amazing shape and was, quite rightly, wearing workout gear, as in Lycra. They were in the changing room after I'd had a shower, and they started referring to her as that fit bitch. This is the kind of common parlance that you can expect the second a man doesn't realise that there is a feminist in the room. And people like to pretend that feminism is dangerous, but the fact is, feminism is about equity between the sexes and genders, at its very core anyway. And when it comes to dealing with misogynistic men, the only people that get frightened of feminism are misogynists. I just want to go on whatever public record this podcast may be to say that I really admire Angela Rayner. She's a tough northern woman who has managed to scrape her way to become the deputy leader of the Labour Party. And if you judge the way that she speaks, the way that she was brought up, or her fucking sartorial choices over whether she's doing a good job, that's really more your problem than hers, or anybody else's for that matter. Angela Rayner, from what I can see, is a pretty well-regarded MP in her local area, and she does her level best to represent her people as best that she can. And I'm more bothered about the fact that she does a decent job than what she's wearing. And if that's your main priority, from your representative in the Houses of Parliament, that they wear nice clothes or talk nicely, then you don't understand politics. The broader implications, though, are that Boris Johnson is physically incapable of controlling himself around a woman, and I don't know about you, but again, I just want to throw it out there that that's probably not who we're going to want in charge of the country. You're telling me that if he goes into some kind of negotiation room with people from Russia and there happens to be a woman there in a high slitted skirt, he's going to not be able to focus on the task at hand, and therefore we might come off worse? Really? That's the guy that you want in charge of the country? It's well known that Boris Johnson harbours a lot of levels of misogyny. This is the man who couldn't even keep his dick dry when his wife was seriously ill with cancer. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I've worked with men who absolutely remind me of Boris Johnson. You know, the blonde, blue-eyed, daffy personality, middle class, oh, isn't he funny kind of person. The kind of person who acts like they're your friend but would drop you for hot shit the second someone more interesting looking came along. And one of the main things that people said was always, "Oh, that's just George, that is." Every time he said something sexist, every time he said something racist, the guy literally called me the F slur. And two of his friends said, "It's just George, that is." When we used to go out and he'd talk about how many biddies he'd banged, and I'm quoting there, even though it makes me feel sick, and I would say, "Don't you think that's a bit misogynistic?" "Oh, it's just George, that is." And the same logic applies to people like Boris Johnson. It's just Boris, just friendly Prime Minister Johnson. And I have to wonder how disgustingly these people have to behave before either it's not just Boris, or it is Boris and it's inappropriate. This all goes back to the whole Partygate thing. There is obviously some kind of understanding between members of the Tory party and the civil servants that work therein, that this kind of behaviour is accepted and condoned. After all, it's his own ministers who quoted the idea that Angela Rayner purposely wears clothes to inflame the Prime Minister's passions. And not just that, you know, she's a person who put on clothes. I assume Angela Rayner doesn't spare a second of thought for Boris Johnson when she's getting dressed in the morning, but, you know, who knows? But I do love the fact that we're now regressing to the rhetoric of it's the woman's fault if she chooses to wear clothes and a man is aroused by it. I mean, aren't these the people that want to ban Sharia law even though they don't know what that is because of the way that the women dress? Oh, I get it. You don't want people to wear a burqa because it makes you uncomfortable, even though it's very patently that woman's choice if she wants to fucking wear one. And how widespread is this rhetoric? Let's look at what happened recently with Julia Hartley Brewer. She decided to go onto Instagram and screenshot a glamour model's Instagram page because the glamour model was complaining about the relentless amount of dick pics that she gets sent unrequested. And Julia Hartley Brewer said, Well, I don't know what she expects posting photos like that, which is very much in the rape apologist territory. Women can post whatever they want, wear whatever they want, do whatever they want. And if they don't say, "I would like a picture of your engorged member, please," you don't have a fucking right to send them anything. And moving away from glamour models and back to Angela Rayner, she's an MP. There is no dress code for the Houses of Parliament. She could go in there in a fucking bikini for all I care, and as long as she's looking after the British people and what we need, I don't really give a shit. And, more to the point, nor should you. Rayner's responses have been pretty damn on the money for everything. Women face relentless sexual abuse, disgusting comments, unwarranted pictures, rape threats, just for existing. So I don't really see how, in the good old year of 2022, we are again having the circular discussion of, is it a woman's fault for existing with legs or breasts or whatever, that they get this kind of ridiculous response? And let's not forget, the Daily Mail is also the paper that published a picture of Angela Merkel and Theresa Wheatfields May with their legs out and said, "Forget about Brexit, who won Lexit?" They obviously haven't learned anything. But it brings to mind a question that I have, at large for the people that listen to this podcast. How do people think this is appropriate? Do you think that it's appropriate to talk about politicians' legs? Don't get me wrong, I understand when people might look at Justin Trudeau and say he's a good-looking guy, or conversely look at Boris Johnson and say he looks like a frozen shit popsicle, but I don't understand how people can sexualize politicians in that way. It's more than a little bit spooky. But especially when it comes to women, because we have this storied history of letting women down, especially women in power. I just don't understand how people can think that it's in any way appropriate. It feeds into something that I've written about recently, which is that the press seems to just kind of willingly or gleefully enable the government to do these ridiculous, reductive things. It is, after all, government ministers who've reported this supposed story that Angela Rayner has a master plan in hand every time she puts on a fucking pencil skirt. But it also means that the press enables this kind of unrepentant rubbish because they focus on that. And while we're all talking about the fact that it's completely inappropriate to address women's sartorial choices in the good old year of 2022, all of the issues that we should be focusing on are going down the drain. You dedicated a whole day's press on the front page to Angela Rayner's sartorial choices. How ridiculous. It would be ridiculous in a normal timeline, but as I've said, you have a mysterious case of children's hepatitis infections going up. You have over 1,000 people a week dying from coronavirus. Unprecedented cost of living crisis. Brexit shrinking the economy. Brexit queues. Everything is getting worse and more dangerous and harder, and the press is focusing on the fact that some women have legs. And not just have legs, but have the audacity to show them. How dare Angela Rayner be a beautiful woman in politics? Doesn't she know that she should look like something that's been recently embalmed and then the Prime Minister can get on with his important job of blustering at the microphone? It's the age-old tactic, not only of blaming women, but of derailing important issues that we need to discuss in favour of going over something that any person with any semblance of brain, any independent power to make their thoughts work, would realise is inappropriate and is a dead topic. To women out there who experience this crap every day, from a guy, although a guy that's not interested in women, all I can do is apologise. The fact that the press think that this is in any way something to devote time to is beyond me. As far as I'm concerned, there should be some kind of mass campaign online to send the Daily Mail photos of women in skirts so the Daily Mail can realise that it's actually a pretty common occurrence, really. Hell, we're in the age of 2022. How about the non-binary folk getting dresses and show them? And PS, I don't know if you've ever seen any of those gym guys who wear dresses, but it's impressive. All I really have to say at the end of the day is, if you are more focused on the fact that Angela Rayner will wear tights in the Houses of Parliament than the fact that we are going through all of these terrible things at once, I don't really know what to say to you with any kind of respect on my words, because as Britain becomes more and more poor, less and less respected in the world, people get sicker, people become more and more unhappy, people are more in danger than they've ever been in certain communities. You have to look around and go, you can't really care about the British public if your main focus are the choices of women's clothes in the Houses of Parliament. And ultimately, two women in politics, you should never be put off wearing what the fucking hell makes you comfortable, and you should always be able to step forward and report inappropriate behaviours from men. To people like Johnson and those in his party that condone this kind of behaviour and enable it by going to the press, all I can say is, you are disgusting. You are regressive, ancient, small-minded idiots. And one day, people like you will no longer be in politics, and I can assure you, everybody's lives will be better for it. So why don't you start now? Thanks for listening to Politically Enraged, a podcast designed to discuss politics palatably. If you're interested in following us on social media, you can find me at Davy Moo pretty much everywhere. And you can also find us on Instagram at Politically Enraged, where you can see the blog. You can find us on Ko-fi in case you'd like to caffeinate me. And you can find us on Twitter at Political Rages. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, stay politically engaged and get politically enraged. Because remember, we deserve better.